All right, guys. Well, we are live here at Framing the World. I really appreciate everyone tuning in to tonight's program. Tonight should be a pretty interesting stream. We're going to be talking with Lori. She is an RN. Are you an RN? Is that what they call you? What are you?
I'm not an RN. I'm basically a scheduler. I schedule imaging appointments.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. So you work for a hospital. That's how I should have.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we have Lori here, and she works for a hospital. And in the county that she lives in, the public health department ordered a full vaccine mandate for all healthcare workers. So Lori obviously didn't want to take this flu vaccine. And so she created a protest. Organize a protest, people join, and the health department rescinded their order of mandatory flu vaccine. So this is going to be a positive live stream tonight, everyone.
This is
exciting,
great.
Because, you know, sometimes when we speak up and we're not scared, you know, things actually change and for the better.
That's right. And
you know, Lori took a stand here. And when all of our other workers probably didn't want, some of them didn't want to take it.
They were scared.
But they were scared. So we're going to talk with Lori about this in a little bit. I wanted to quickly mention our alternative site. So I hope you guys go to our BitChute channel and our Brighteon channel, as well as our backup YouTube channel, and subscribe to those channels, guys, because, you know, they're trying to shut down independent thought in this country and on the internet. And so we need to diversify these channels, because if they do shut me down on YouTube, I want to still be able to get these live streams out there to people. And so I want to, you know, boost these numbers before we actually, you know, get kicked off of the main platforms. And also, guys, I just subscribed to a new platform. It's kind of like Patreon, but it's not. It's without the censorship. So you can support me at Subscribestar.com/framingtheworld. And, you know, $5 a month, you can support me there. It's just like Patreon. We're going to have a lot of giveaways and stuff on that website. And in fact, we're going to be doing a huge giveaway at the end of this month, at the 29th or 30th, whatever, however many days there are in this month, the last day of the month. We're going to be giving away a bunch of stuff to anyone who has subscribed $1 or more to our Patreon account, or if they are already a Patreon member, $50 or more. And, of course, if they subscribe to the Subscribe Star. So we're going to be giving away this Red Hot Preaching DVD. We're going to be giving away the new IFB Soul Wing Conference DVD. We're going to be giving away Jewish DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Two books by Tex Mars, The Synagogue of Satan, and the Pale Rider book right here. And we're also giving away a really neat prize. And this is my favorite giveaway we're doing this month. It is a Confederate 20-cent bill from 1861. So we're going to be giving away this at the end of the month to anyone that supports us on Patreon or Subscribestar. And so I really encourage you guys to go over there and head over there and support us. $5 a month makes a huge difference for me here at Framing the World. I appreciate everyone's support. And I appreciate the Canadian coming in and joining me for this live stream. Shane, how are you doing today?
Good,
man?
good. How are you, Paul?
Very good.
How are you, Lori? Nice to meet you, Lori.
Yeah, nice to see you.
All right, Lori, so let's get right into it. Break down what happened and what led you to take the steps that you did.
Okay, so basically, over the last 4 years that I've worked there, I've worked there actually for almost 10 years, but the most recent 4 years, we were required to wear a mask if we didn't get the flu shot. So I've never gotten the flu shot. And so because I have, you know, my family has vaccine reactions and I'm just worried that I might react to it, I'm also just religiously against it. So this year, my hospital came out with a memo saying that, yeah, the vaccine, it won't be mandated. It'll just be strongly encouraged. So I was happy because I was thinking, oh, good, they won't require anything. So that's great. Well, so then a couple weeks later, they have a new memo that basically says that if we don't get the vaccine, the flu vaccine, we will get 30 days of unpaid leave. And then if we still don't get it, we'll get terminated. And they also used as their backup the county order from the public health officer that was stating the same thing, that it's mandatory. The only way to get out of it is a medical exemption, which is very difficult to get. So that would really upset me because I'm like, well, am I just going to have to look for another job? And so I told my son that. I'm like, I guess I'll just look for work somewhere else because I don't want to get this flu shot. And he basically said, Mom, if you're going to lose your job anyway, why don't you just fight it? And I go, okay, fight it. All right. Yeah. I don't know what that means exactly. But then I asked my pastor about it, and he's in agreement with me about vaccines. He doesn't agree with getting them. And he said the same thing, fight it. And I'm like, what do you mean fight it? They're like, we'll gather people together. I'm like how, you know? So, and I was thinking I was all alone. It was just me. I'm like, hardly anybody agrees with me. Everybody else is going to get it. This is ridiculous. So then I look online and I notice that somebody had posted a petition that was against my hospital and the county saying that we shouldn't have this mandate. And there was like 500 signatures. And I looked on the comments and there was these doctors and nurses that I know that I'm familiar with that had all said that this mandate is ridiculous. So I'm like, well, there's some people that agree. So I started trying to share that on social media, on Facebook. I was sharing it in all these different pages. It got to the point where they were blocking me and they were shutting off the comments and trying to like really shut it down. So it was really frustrating for me. So I decided to make my own page. So it's called Wairika Scoop. And it's just basically, I originally wanted it to be a place of open ideas for people. Well, then I decided, you know what, why don't I just do a protest? Because like we had already sent in a letter with 72 nurses and doctors' names attached to it, to the Board of Supervisors, and nothing really was happening with that. So I decided to create an event, and it was called Immunity from Tyranny. And so it was this protest at 7 a.m., and we were going to protest in front of public health, and then we were going to go over to the Board of Supervisors meeting and protest there as well, and then give public comments.
Yeah, and you know, I want to quickly play the news clip that you sent me, because I think that really kind of puts it all in context. So I'm going to play that clip, and we're going to come back and talk about it the rest of the way. Here we go.
Okay. County community members are protesting a mandatory flu vaccine for all healthcare workers.
Oh, freedom!
Medical!
Freedom!
Medical!
Event organizers called this morning's protest outside the Siskiyou County Courthouse Immunity from Tyranny, advocating for healthcare workers to choose whether or not they get an influenza vaccine. In early September, Siskiyou County Public Health made the announcement that healthcare workers are required to get the vaccine during this flu season. The department says the overlap in symptoms of COVID-19 and the flu, along with a lack of effective treatment for coronavirus, requires additional public health intervention. But some healthcare workers who were protesting Tuesday disagree.
We are about choice. We are not anti-vaccine. We are about making a choice. And if there's a mandate for something that takes away my informed consent, and I believe that's a basic human right.
Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors member Lisa L. Nixon declined to comment on the matter, but says she heard the mandate could potentially change tomorrow. We reached out to Siskiyou County Public Health today, but we are still waiting to hear back.
And I think that's a very powerful clip there, because it really just shows that there's more people than just you at this protest.
Right.
And a lot of people showed up and were supportive of the message.
Well, and I'll tell you what, when I was heading to the protest, I was so insecure. I was thinking, here it was still dark outside, and I'm thinking, am I an idiot? Why did I sign up for this? I'm going to look like an idiot. No one's going to show up. It's going to be me by myself. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and do this. Well, we had signs and everything. My pastor had showed up, and then we had like 30 people that showed up. So I was so excited, and I got out my cowbell. I was ringing that. And so just yelling, and I had my cone, you know, I was speaking through. It was so fun. I really had a blast. It was really cool.
Awesome. Well, what is the main message? Because I know my sister is an RN, and she went through the exact same thing that you went through with them making you wear making you get the flu vaccine. And so what she did is she made a huge stink and she just wore the mask. And she did that for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that are just fed up with these things. And what makes you not want to get the flu vaccine?
Well, part of it is I have a twin sister who's autistic and she has cerebral palsy. And when she was 3, she got an MMR vaccine. And she could speak before that. She could speak a few words, but she got that vaccine. And then within like a day, she had a seizure and she couldn't talk anymore. And for her, being able to speak would be a huge advantage because she can't walk. She can't talk. You know, she's very smart, but she can't communicate very well. And so that would be a huge advantage for her. And she lost that advantage from the MMR vaccine. And then on top of that, I have a family member who had, they got the swine flu vaccine back in the 70s, and they had temporary paralysis from the chest down for about like 30 minutes. And because of that, they're no longer able to get the flu vaccine at all. And so that was a close family member of mine. And then my sister, who also spoke at the meeting, she had a very bad reaction from the flu vaccine after she had been getting it for a few years. And then she ended up with a permanent rash and then also just some neurological symptoms. So that's part of it. And then also, you know, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. I don't believe that we need to have something injected to assist our immune system. I think our immune system is just fine. And really, what's a little flu a couple of days in bed? I mean, what's that compared to possibly autoimmune problems or any number of things that could go wrong with a vaccine?
And
there's just lots of reasons.
And there's people need to realize that some people are more susceptible to these problems from vaccines than others. And, you know, when I was making a film years ago on vaccines, and I interviewed probably about 10 different families that were all pro-vaccine, and they gave their kids the flu shot or different vaccines, and they said their little kid just changed overnight, where they were making eye contact, they were just normal kids, and then after the vaccines, after the 7 rounds of vaccines or the 20 rounds one parent was telling me about, they said their eyes glazed over, they stopped making eye contact, they started rubbing their feces against the wall. Like, they just,
so sad.
They just completely changed. This mother looked at me, and it's very powerful footage. I hope to release it someday. She looked at me and she was like, you know, I hurt my daughter. Like, you know, she was like, I could see, it was like a light bulb that went off in her eyes. And she was just a bright, brilliant child. And then now she's just ruined forever.
Yeah, that's really sad.
A lot of people are like, oh, you're just anti-vax, you're anti-vax. But, you know, they start off not anti-vax. They start off being pro-vax. And then they realize that of the problems with it. And they're just trying to let people know. And so, and that seems to be like what you're trying to say.
Right. And here's the thing, too. There was we had a private group of people that work at the hospital that I work at. And so many of them were so scared to say anything. They were so scared that they were going to get fired that I'm like, well, somebody has to speak up. And, you know, I'm an introvert. I'm shy. I'm not outgoing. But I'm like, well, you know what? I care about the subject. I'm going to say something because, you know, the more out there I am and saying something, then the less likely they are to fire me because it's going to be obvious. So,
yeah.
And yeah, there was lots of different people with varying degrees of Like, some people get the flu shot every year, but they're against a mandate. Some people are anti-vaccine. So for me, I'm trying to represent a group of people. I'm saying we are not anti-vax. We are just for choice, because that's the one thing we all agreed on, was we don't like mandates.
Right. Yeah, my mom actually took a flu shot in the early 2000s, and she went blind.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
So, and she took the flu shot on the Friday, and by the Sunday she was blind, and then she had to go for a bunch of surgeries, and in the long run she ended up losing an eye. So now she only has vision in one eye. So and that's before I ever heard about, you know, anti-vacciners or anything like that. It's just, she went to the doctor and for like a routine checkup, and the doctor's like, you should get a flu shot. And my mom's like, well, okay. And next thing you know, she's had a battle for about a couple of years just to get the one eye back. So, yeah, flu vaccines are pretty serious.
That's terrible.
Yeah,
they are.
So what are you doing now, Lori? What is your message now? What are you trying to accomplish now that you've rescinded that order? What's your main point now?
So what I want to do is encourage other people to do the same thing. So to kind of give like a how-to, because I didn't know what I was doing. I had never even started a group page before or anything, but yet we were successful. And I think just taking certain steps really helps, and just having the courage to stand up and go, no, we're gonna do this. We're gonna have a protest. And the time is really getting close to where we got to make changes before this October 31st deadline, because that's kind of the flu shot deadline for people to get it, or, you know, or to make something happen to rescind the orders. Cause there's other counties in California and probably around the country that are also doing the same thing. So I'm just trying to encourage people that you can do this too. It's not very difficult. In fact, start to finish, the entire process for me, it took a week start to finish, and then it was rescinded and we're good. So,
wow. Yeah. Well, you know, I really wish there was more nurses like you out there that took a stand, because people don't understand the power of just one person taking a stand.
That's
against
right.
these sayings, because when someone sees someone doing something bold, it's much easier for the second and third person to come along.
That's right.
If it's super hard for that first person. So if you're listening out there, and you know, it can't hurt, like she said, you know, I was going to quit anyways, might as well.
Right.
You know, might as well get fired.
Yeah. And you know what? I just kind of reached a point, because I was talking to my, you know, my coworkers over the text, and they felt all helpless, like they couldn't do anymore. And we sent the letter in and all that, and nothing was happening. And I'm like, I want to do something about this. I'm tired of being afraid. And that's the thing, is that these employers and the public health department, they are using fear to control people. And it's like, we either buckle under the fear, or we stand up and go, no, I'm not going to put up with this. Because honestly, I think it is a crime against humanity to not give people a choice to hold their livelihood over their head instead of giving them a choice of what medical procedures are done to them. I mean, it's a basic human right. It really is.
Yeah. And, you know, that's how they do it. They have to scare you into submission.
Yeah, that's right. So I did kind of want to go over just basically the process of what I did that worked. So, you know, I created a group page, and then I created the event, Immunity from Tyranny is what I called it. And, you know, I made a nice description in there. And the key was to obviously share it on a bunch of local pages. And even those were getting shut down. Like, they would close off, they would turn off the comments and things. Like, they were really trying to suppress it, but I kept getting it out there. So then I started creating funny memes about vaccination and how it might lead to the CV vaccination being mandated also. And so I kept people engaged by posting things frequently, at least once a day, if not more than once a day. And I also posted photos of my signs that I was making, so they knew that I was really going to do this. And I also I created flyers and went door to door. I had like a catchy title on the top and explained where the protest was and everything. And I passed out like 300 flyers over the weekend. And so that is a way to get over the censorship. You're just basically taking the flyer and you're putting it on someone's doorstep so that you're not littering. And the other thing that I did was I created rules for people at the protest. So because you want the protest to be as respectable as possible, you want to respect law enforcement, you want to, you know, no jaywalking, use the crosswalk, don't block entrances and exits, because you don't want to block anybody in. You don't want to do anything that could get you in trouble, that could make it where the officials aren't taking you seriously. So so I created those rules, I posted those on the event, and then, you know, I encourage people to say, hey, let me know if you're going, please mark it on the event, so that they would be engaged, that I could at least go, well, who's really going to go here, you know? And so I took a cowbell, and that was really loud. It was really nice because I didn't have to yell the whole time, but we got a lot of attention. And what was really cool was the public health officials, a couple of them, were coming out there and standing out there looking at us, giving us dirty looks. And I was like, yeah, I just kept ringing my bell. It was really fun. It was cool. And then the other thing too is, in my particular county, it may be different in other counties, but the Board of Supervisors, when they opened it up for public comments, I mentioned when I was talking to them at the end of my little 3 minutes that they gave me, I said, because they said that they can't rescind this order, they don't have that authority. But I knew that they have the authority to reprimand the public health officer. So they could fire them, or they could reprimand them or pressure them to rescind that order. So I told them in my comments, I said, if you have to fire this person or whatever you have to do to rescind this order, please do that. Please stand with us. And they did. And I really have to give a shout out to the Board of Supervisors, because they were awesome. They listened to us, they heard us, and they did something about it.
Wow. I didn't realize that they actually overturned it like that.
Yeah, it was the next day it was rescinded.
Wow. That is so powerful.
Yeah, it was awesome. And of course, I want to thank everybody who prayed, because I put some requests in the prayer requests, and I really think God had a hand in this, obviously. I mean, he was there with us, so it was awesome.
So I have a question. Is your page still going right now?
Yes, it is.
Are you still making like the memes and all that stuff?
I probably should make another meme. I did make a meme just the other day that was pretty funny. I basically, you know, I showed a sweaty person on the top, saying, you know, co-workers afraid to start a protest, and the bottom half had a guy with a noose on saying, first time, like that's me, like I'm all confident. But anyway, you'll see the meme if you look it up. But it's called Wairika Scoop is my page, and then the event is called Immunity from Tyranny, and I still have it up. And also the other thing that was really good was we have live streams. So I started live streams on Facebook a couple of different times, and that really drew more people out to come to it, because they saw that it was a big deal, and I also want to thank Dr. Hess, because he came over to this thing. He had a State of Jefferson flag, and he had his white doctor coat on with the stethoscope, and he said this really inspirational speech on the steps of the courthouse, and that just, like, the next day it had like over 4,000 views. So like, he was super inspirational. That was super cool. Yeah. So anyway.
Do you think that in the future there'll be like, you'll have to fight this battle every year when the flu shot comes out, or when
here's the thing. We know that the CV vaccine is coming down the pike, and part of the playbook for the CDC playbook for the CV vaccine is to ramp up influenza vaccinations, be it mandatory or whatever.
Are you talking about the coronavirus vaccine?
Yes, I don't know what words I'm allowed to say, because we are on YouTube, right? So
okay, yeah.
They might censor us. So I'm saying CV because I know that can get, you know, under the radar.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I'm talking about. Yes. So we know that's coming down the pike. So we're going to have to, I mean, if we don't stand up now, we may not have a chance.
Right. So you're going to have to potentially ramp this up when the CV vaccine comes out, or maybe in the future, or like, so you said that the person that was in charge of the health board or whatever, he's the one that rescinded the order. Is that?
Yeah. So the public health officer, and this is the thing, is that they are now using, instead of going the legal route through like the state where it's voted on and that kind of thing, they're going through public health. So public health is your target. So the public health officer that orders this, that's essentially your target, in the sense of you want to make the Board of Supervisors do something to either get rid of that person or to pressure them so that they will rescind the order. That's because they're going around kind of in a roundabout way, going through public health so that they can mandate it, even though really it's really not legal what they're doing.
So if they get like a somebody new, like a new, like, you know, a new sheriff in town kind of deal, or they take it to the next level, I guess, are you ready to fight that battle with them then too?
Oh, absolutely. I will fight tooth and nail. Whatever it takes.
Yeah,
whatever it takes.
Have you been approached by like anybody else that has heard your story? Like maybe somebody else in another hospital, in another community or another district or something?
Well, Tehama County, I know I don't know if that was rescinded or not, but I know a lot of the people from Tehama County were really talking, being like, how did you do this? And people from LA County were like, how did you do this? Tell me how, you know, and I kind of wrote it up really quick, but that's why this kind of video is good, because people need to know how to do it. And I'm just so thankful that we were successful. It just really, it was cool how it all turned out. But I want other people to know how to do this, because there are a lot of people from other counties that are wanting to know, how do we do this?
Yeah. I guess it could work in other countries too, because I have like family members that work in the medical field. And I know that they said that like one of them is a relative and they didn't want to take a flu shot based just on my mom. Right. Like what happened to my mom.
Right.
And but then they never pushed back, because they were just kind of like you, like, well, if I push back, you know, nobody else is going to do anything. And, you know, I'm going to be the only one. And, you know, so it's kind of inspiring that that you did that. And, you know, sometimes you know, maybe you don't. Some people might not have to push that hard. Some might have to push really hard to get it done, but some might not just have to just say, I'm going to take a stand here. And when they realize that you're going to take a stand, then that's maybe when they'll ease off. Right. So,
yeah. So, I mean, people just need to be strong and be like, no. And I honestly, I mean, I'm a single mom. I depend on my job, and there's not a lot of work in my town that I live in. So I depend on my job, but I'm like, you know what? I'm done being afraid. I'm going to stand up. I'm tired of letting them strong arm me to do something I'm not cool with. So
I guess your approach that you took, like by creating the board, the YouTube channel or the Facebook, sorry, and all those avenues, that thing that you wrote up, you could probably apply that to other places like schools or other companies or businesses that, you know, want to, mandate, because like you said, that when the coronavirus vaccine comes out, there's going to be a lot of people mandating, you know, in their companies and whatever, that you have to take this vaccine.
Right.
And I think that by kind of having a way to give them people instructions on how to get this thing going, because we need people to just start saying, I'm not going to do that. Right. And we need, and because that person, like you said, is not the only person possibly in that business or in that area or whatever, that's just, you know, that feels the same way. But we've got to, people have to link up in order not to fall under pressure. Right.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is there's definitely censorship on Facebook. I mean, I experienced it a lot where like I would post something and then I couldn't see it. And I'm like, and I couldn't see the comments. I had it where I said, well, here's an option. What do you guys think we should do? Please comment below. And then they'd say, we can't comment. It was stuff like that where it's like this, and it was so frustrating. Even with my own page where I'm the admin, it still was giving me issues. So, I mean, I think we need to link up, figure out ways to link up outside of Facebook, but Facebook is very convenient. Very easy to share stuff, but
yeah, that's what people use. Same with YouTube. It's like they own these conglomerates that's where everyone goes, and that's how you create a movement. You have to use those platforms to do that.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's really inspiring to hear your story. I wanted to show your meme because it's pretty.
Yes, classic. Yes,
it's pretty classic.
I love my memes. Yes, show them, please.
Coercion afraid to start a protest meme. That is good.
Is it the one with the noose?
Yeah, it's the noose, yeah.
And I really liked, I had a Borg one. Did you see the Borg one yet?
I haven't, no. Oh, yeah, right here. I got it right here.
Okay.
Read it if you can. Do you know what it says?
I can't see it.
What does that say, Shane?
The Siskiyou Company Board of Supervisors is awesome for rescinding the mandate. Thank you.
Oh, I think that's
That was telling them thank you. That's not the board one. That's not the board one. Is kind of red and gray.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess we don't have that one.
That's okay. It just said mandatory vaccines. Resistance is futile.
Oh, I got it right here. Yeah, yeah. There it is. Okay, yeah. You got it. Me, that is good. Yeah, you need to make more of these memes.
Well, I said, Board of Supervisors, don't be like the Borg, you know. So
out of your protest or getting that order rescinded, how many people kind of, or do you even know the number of how many people that actually did not take the flu vaccine because you stood up in your work or your
area? The thing, I don't, it seemed like a large percentage got it because when my employer put out the new memo, they said that like most of them got it. So maybe only 20 didn't get it or something, but I can't be sure, but I know that they were definitely ramping up giving people flu shots and pressuring them, right? Like even the day of the protest and everything, because I took half a day off and then I went to work. Well, they were really pressuring people because I could tell, because here's the deal. And granted, you'll have to look this up, but I know a few things about money and what goes into play. So a hospital, if they get a 90% vaccination rate of their employees, they get a full Medicare reimbursement.
Oh, wow.
So basically they get more money if their employees are vaccinated. And then also public health will get $55,000 if 400 healthcare workers are vaccinated with the flu shot.
Oh, wow.
So if you have a small community, your public health department wants that money.
Yeah.
So, and there's also state incentives to your hospital through the state of California for different vaccines. So there's money on all sides to be had if people get vaccinated at their work.
After they rescinded the order, did they like ramp up like maybe pressure tactics or anything like that to get the vaccine, or like were some people still think like kind of guilted into taking the vaccine or like
before it was rescinded? They were like, anybody here not vaccinated? Anybody need it still? You know, going around. And they were really ramping it up, I think, because they knew, maybe they knew it was going to get rescinded. I don't know. But they were definitely ramping it up, especially the day of the protest. They were super ramping it up. So, yeah. But after it was rescinded and they came out with the new memo, I haven't seen any pressure. I think they're kind of, I think they reached the quota that they needed to.
So honestly, did you get, has anybody at your work like came over and just like thank you for like standing up and, you know, and
my close coworkers in my department, definitely. But what's funny is a lot of the people that I know that are against it, they a lot of times won't even make eye contact with me. And I think it's that they're afraid to be associated with me.
Even though they didn't take the vaccine?
Yeah. They're really? I think that they're scared that maybe I'm on the chopping block and they'll be next. I don't know. But I did have one person that was in support of it that said, "Are you stoked?" And I go, "Stoked." She had found out that it was rescinded. So I'm like, "Seriously?" I'm so excited. It's so awesome.
Do they keep a record? Is it like anonymous, or do they keep a record of who got the flu shot? Like, do they know everybody? Like,
they do. Because what they wanted to do was they wanted to have it where you, and they may even still do it, where you have to have a sticker system on your badge, where you have a sticker and you have to wear a mask if you don't get it. Like, I didn't get it, you know.
Even after it was rescinded, they still have that sticker and mask thing going on?
I think they're going to do that, if I remember right. I think they are going to do that. And then also, you have to sign a decline form. And so they definitely know who does and who doesn't. And also, I have to wear a mask during the flu season if I don't get it. So it's really obvious.
Right.
But
right.
at the same, but we also wear masks because of Corona. So, yeah. you know,
oh, so
maybe they won't be able to tell. I don't know.
Does your mask have to like say like unclean or something like that? Maybe maybe that'll separate you from the rest.
Well, and I've been wearing that mask for years. And honestly, before it was like, I'm not going to let them force me to get the shot because honestly, when I come into contact with the public and I'm wearing a mask and no one else is wearing a mask, they'll go, oh, are you sick? What's the matter? Why are you wearing a mask? And I'll say, well, actually, I'm required to wear it because I didn't get my flu shot. And then they'll either be like, that's ridiculous. Or they'll go, well, shame on you. You know?
Oh, really?
But, oh, so you get it from all over the place, huh?
Yeah. It's like wearing a dunce cap. Seriously.
Oh, wow.
It's
well,
good.
Now...
But,
with now though, with the whole coronavirus, you're just gonna fit right in with everyone else.
Oh yeah, no, everybody's like against it. They're scared of it.
Yeah,
because it's not adequately tested, and there's some scary stuff. Like I heard AstraZeneca, they're doing trials for it, and they had two people that got neurological symptoms, and one of the people they had to actually halt the study for a while. One of the people said that they feel dead inside and they can't feel God anymore. That's what they said.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's scary.
Yeah, with the flu shot, you know, at least, you know, you're probably going to be fine. More than likely, you're going to be fine. You might get a little, you know, neurological
Michael blind,
damage.
Maybe?
Yeah, you might get some neurological damage. But more than likely, you will be fine. But with this whole coronavirus vaccine, there's no testing. I mean, they're just pushing this thing through. And yeah, I would not take that vaccine.
And that's the thing. I'm thinking about building a page on Facebook, but I might get censored. I don't know. But I want to build like a following against the CV vaccine so that eventually we can set like a future protest for like a year from now or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know the timeline of when it's going to come out and stuff. So,
well, I mean, I would just change your group right now to, you know, a different name, maybe when that,
or
happens.
Even just anti-mandatory vaccine in general.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
well,
yeah, but this,
anything anti-vaccine though is getting censored on social media.
Yep, totally, and that's the thing too. I'm representing a group of people, so I can't really. I mean, I have my own anti-vaccine. You know, that's how I'm against them myself, but. Like I said, I'm representing a group of people who have differing views, but they are all against the mandate. So at least I can go with that. So
yeah,
has there been any talk at your work about mandating it for you to take it when it comes?
Oh yeah, people are afraid. They're like, I'm not taking it.
No, I mean from management. Sorry, like this management talking, like
management?
You're gonna have to take this. Like you beat them on the flu shot, or are they like walking by your desk and going, you know, you're gonna take that coronavirus vaccine when it comes out, you know, because you're not gonna fight us on this one, right?
Well, that's the thing is that no management at all, even with my planning of this whole thing, they never once came to me and said anything. They never intimidated me. They never. Now, granted, they intimidated me when I didn't want to get the coronavirus test, because I was very much against that. Because they, here's the deal: my county had zero active cases of corona. My employer was requiring that every single person get a coronavirus test, regardless of whether or not they had any symptoms. And there was zero justification for it. And you know what's funny is that when they did that, nobody had it. No, it was like near zero. So, yeah. So I was already fighting them on that, and I was in like the bigwig's office for that one because I was very much against that. But I didn't win. I had to get it anyway. So.
Oh, so they didn't rescind that. So is that you said that was before the flu?
That was before the flu one. Yeah. And
before.
So this was kind of like, okay, well, this is my only shot. Like I got to really try hard for this one because. I don't want to get something injected.
Is that maybe what inspired you, the fact that maybe they made you take that coronavirus test? Is
That's
that kind
of
what kickstarted you to be like, I'm not just going to beckon every time they say I have to, right?
Right. Yeah, that's part of it because, like, I've been 4 years of wearing the mask for the entire flu season every year. And then on top of that, I was refusing the coronavirus vaccine and coronavirus test, sorry. And I said, is there any way you could just think of making this optional? And they're like, no. So it's kind of like, no, okay, I gotta take a stand. I gotta make a big deal because, you know, what other option do I have really? you know, so.
Do you think if you would have fought the coronavirus test, do you think you could have beat it if you really would have pushed it?
Well, it was just coming from my hospital. It wasn't mandated from like the county or anything. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, they might
have been able to get you on that one.
Yeah, they could have.
But that test, how is it? They stick it up your nose. Tell us just for educate us real quick.
Yeah. Tell us how wonderful it was.
What's the procedure of the test?
So basically, they have this swab thing and it smells like chemicals. I don't even know what's on it. This swab thing, and they shove it way up your nose as far as it can go. And you're like, oh no, oh, and they shove it in farther.
Aye.
And they swab it around on each nostril. And I was saying bad words. That's how bad it was, which I hardly ever say bad words. And it was horrible. Like you try to lean back and that's as far as they can go and they go farther. It was horrible. Horrible. And after the first time, I totally cried. I had to take an hour off. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't handle this. I just felt violated. It was horrible. Wow.
Was there any residual after after they pull the swab out? Like, do you taste those chemicals or do you?
Yes.
Did you bleed or anything like that? Or
my nose was a little bit bloody, but I actually was blowing my nose because I'm like, whatever that was, I want it out of my nose.
So how?
Because it was chemically.
Yeah. How long before you returned back to normal after that test?
Like an hour.
I'm talking about like the smell and the taste
I don't know, maybe 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
I guess.
It took you longer to recover emotionally than it did it's physically then, I guess.
Definitely. Yeah. I was so upset. Oh, I'm so upset. Yeah. So couldn't get out of that one. But yeah, that's another thing too. I had tons of trolls. Every time I posted my event on a page, they'd laugh at me or they'd ask stupid questions. What's medical freedom? You know, they'd ask me stuff like that. And you know what I did? I would always reply and I'd keep it going because you know why? The more they argue with you, the more attention your post gets. So more people notice it. You get more exposure that way. That's why I was able to talk to the media and everything is because I'm like, I want everybody to know about this because I want them to go. So, you know, trolls can serve a good purpose sometimes.
Absolutely. And explain how did the media find it? Because it's not just this news clip. There's other news clips too, isn't there?
There's like three newspaper interviews, and then there's the one short video one.
Okay.
The newspaper one. I'm trying to think. I think they might have seen my. I'm trying to think. I think they might have seen it online, and then they messaged me. So then I'm like, oh yeah, I'll talk to you. So I called them. Oh, actually, one of them, a person that's in one of my groups in the Healthcare Workers Against Mandatory Vaccines, one of those groups, they said, call this number for this newspaper. Call as soon as possible, and I called them.
Wow.
So I was able to. That was one of them. That was like the first one, and then after that, they were calling me. So.
Did you ever get any like lawyers calling you offering support or government officials or anybody? No.
Nope, not at all.
So yeah. the newspaper was basically the only real thing that came to your aid.
Partially, yeah, and people who joined.
Well, obviously the people, but I'm talking about like people that the media is something that reaches a lot of people, right? So.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I was thankful that the media presented me pretty well. I totally thought they were going to make me look crazy or something, but they presented me really well. They quoted me right, and they did a great job. I mean, granted, my 10-minute long interview turned into 10 seconds. That was kind of like, you know, they left a lot out.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I love how you posted that whole video, and you named it the 10-minute interview that lasted 10 seconds.
Yeah, and I mean, they really summed it up pretty good, but at the same time, it's like, well, there was a lot missing, like vaccine reactions and all that, and Guillain-Barré, and they didn't cover any of that. So, but I think, you know, a lot of the media gets money from pharmaceutical companies, they get money from hospitals, you know, so they don't get money from me necessarily, so they may not be on my side as much.
Well, do you think it was that news article that kind of got it rescinded eventually?
Well, I'll tell you, the one of the members of the Board of Supervisors was interviewed for that TV spot. So obviously they were calling them. So they knew that the heat was on them to do something about it. So I think it did make a difference.
Yeah, for sure. You know what? That's so funny that it's just everyone's so scared of any kind of controversy that, that does it. Well, I really appreciate you, Lori, coming on the show and telling us your story.
Thank you.
Can you just give some closing thoughts on just kind of why it's important for people to take a stand to do what you're doing?
Yeah. So basically, you know, you are the only one who's going to stand up for your rights. When it comes to your body, you want to be able to choose what medical procedures are done. You need to stand up for yourself. No one else is going to do it for you. You can't look up to Trump or anybody else to do this for you. You have to do it for yourself. And the key is, if you join together as a group and do something like this together, that's what really has an impact. It's staying together, staying with one accord, and telling everybody that you can, sharing it far and wide, and making every effort that you can to get the information out there. And yeah, don't be afraid. Don't let fear hold you down, because fear's held me down for many years. I've been very shy for many years, and I'm just starting to break out of that. So don't let fear hold you back, because you never know what you can accomplish if you can just get over it. Yeah.
Wow. Well, very inspiring. I really appreciate you coming on the show, Lori. I hope you have a good day.
Thank you very much. It's been really fun.
All right. God bless.
Bye. Thank you.
Well, that was awesome, just to talk with Lori and just to get her perspective. It's so positive having just, you never really get the happy ending usually. It's usually like, okay, I guess you're going to go take that vaccine. Yeah. But, you know, I'm glad she's sticking by it, sticking to her guns, because, you know, when this whole coronavirus vaccine comes out, I'm telling you, people, you do not want to take that vaccine, because there's so many unknowns with this. It is being rushed to market. And, you know, the biggest thing about these mandates, and I keep saying this on the show, is that these mandates are just conditioning us into taking something to get what you should already have to begin with. And so, you know, these mandates are just conditioning us to eventually in the future take the mark of the beast someday. And so, you know, I firmly believe that, because everything seems like it's being mandated now. And so people are slowly getting conditioned. So make sure you head over to, how do you say that group name?
Yreka Scoop.
The Yreka Scoop, public group there. It has 106 members. I hope you make it more. And I really appreciate Lori standing up. And, you know, I love to see this mask, because, you know, that's when I like to see a mask, when they're doing it because they're standing for their rights. Not this whole wearing a mask to stop the coronavirus.
No. No.
But that was a good show. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it turned out good. I think that, you know, she did something there where she actually took a stand. She was basically just one person that decided, I'm just going to say no. And, you know, even though she didn't think that was a lot of people, I think 20 people is a lot of people to not take the vaccine.
Dude, that's
workplace.
Huge.
That's a lot of people.
That's huge.
That just stood back and said no. And it's because she stood up. Right. So
yeah.
if you just think about it, if more and more people just take a play out of her book and just, you know, just kind of just try to do what she did and just stand up, then, you know, we might have a chance against these mandates. But
yeah,
if everybody just be like, I don't know, I'll just take it just to,
it's,
you know.
Really easy to just walk over one person.
Yep.
It's harder to walk over 20 people.
Exactly.
It's harder to walk over against everyone. If everyone's just standing up and saying, no, I'm not going to take this stupid coronavirus vaccine that's been tested for like 4 months, forget that.
Yep. And you know what they're going to do is, and this is just my opinion, but they're going to start with the hospital workers. They're going to give it to all the hospital workers because they're the front line. You know that, that they put such a big emphasis during coronavirus that, you know, thank you, essential workers, which, you know, thank them because they are, you know, on the front line for coronavirus, just for everything. Right. You know, like, and
well,
so
they are around that disease all day long. They are, you know, they are sacrificing themselves because some people get it worse than others.
Yeah. So because they're there, they're going to give them the vaccine to say, hey, you need to protect yourself because you're working with it. So here's the cure.
Well, you have to take the vaccine or you're going to kill someone. And that's how they're going to pressure it. And then if they do kill someone and they refuse to take the mask, I mean, the shot, I wonder if they would charge them with manslaughter or something crazy like that.
So once you get all the workers taking the coronavirus shot, then the people that come into the hospital, it's just going to be a cakewalk. Just, well, you got to take the shot, you know, because you could kill somebody while you're in the waiting room. So you might as well just, you know, you might go in for stitches and they say you need to take coronavirus shot because, you know, you're going to kill somebody because you might have coronavirus. So you can see how by just going through the hospitals that they can just one way of just mass mandating or mass forcing people into this. And, you know, I'm glad that she took that stand and that, you know, that other people are going to see this and maybe, you know, and they're wherever they are and watching this, that they may just want to in turn take a stand too when this comes out. And maybe there will be a community that sticks together that will fight this thing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the show. I love these kind of conversations, and these are the kind of shows I want to do. I want to do more of these kind of shows, and I'm glad Lori contacted me because I didn't even know about her story. And so it's important to get these stories out there to empower people to take a stand. And so I really encourage people to head over to our BitChute channel and our Brighteon channel and support us over there. Again, guys, subscribe to our BitChute channel. We are being heavily censored on all the different platforms, and you can find original content on these sites. Also, check out our YouTube backup channel, Generation Conspiracy. And of course, guys, please, 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 please help me out, guys. I need, if you're listening to this, you enjoyed this conversation, please donate $5. $5 a month. Head over to our Subscribestar page. Subscribestar.com/framingtheworld. Help me get this going, and we are going to be doing a giveaway. I want to real quick mention the giveaway before we take off because I think it's an awesome giveaway, guys. So you need to subscribe, though, to Subscribestar to be entered in for a chance to win these items. What's that?
Or Patreon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or Patreon. You can subscribe to either one. If you're already a subscriber to Patreon, just increase your donation by $1. And if you already are subscribed for $50 or more on Patreon, you're automatically entered into this drawing, so you don't need to raise it. But we are going to be giving away these books right here, these two books, plus Pale Rider. And we're also going to be giving away the new IP Soulwing Conference DVD and the Red Hot Preaching Conference DVD and the Mac Daddy Prize of all of them. We're going to be giving away this beautiful, authentic certificate, North Carolina Confederate States 20-cent bill from 1861. How cool is this?
That looks pretty interesting.
It's pretty sweet. So I hope you guys support me on those sites. Come on, guys. I'm down this month. I was doing so good last month. We got up. But then, you know, we have crept down. We have fallen back into oblivion this month. But, you know, I'm hoping that you guys are going to want to support us because you enjoyed this live stream. You want to see more of these live streams because I can't do it without your support, guys. Head over to Subscribestar.com/framingtheworld and support us over there. And be the first one that subscribes here, guys. No one's subscribed yet. We just started this today.
Today?
All right. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. Any final thoughts?
Well, no. Like I said, I'm just glad that, you know, Lori was able to, you know, stand up. And you know, I think that we just all need to just take a stand, even, you know, just with the masks, everything. Just you know, just take a stand, people.
Awesome. Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much, guys, and God bless.